On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it is updates galore, as there are major updates from each of the big sports, and I'm here to break it all down with y'all. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 77 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And man, what a week it has been in Gamecock country. Who says there's an off season? Seriously, I mean, we got SEC media days around the corner. I got baseball news. We got women's basketball news. We got men's basketball news. Absolutely hectic, bananas, electric week or so in Gamecock country, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So great to be talking with y'all. Got a packed episode, and it is so much fun to be talking about so many different sports, you know? I mean, I was thinking about it the other day, and we're all gearing up for football. We're what, 51 days at this point, 52? You know, it's right around the corner, right? And it can't come soon enough. But just had to take a look back and just say, man, got to appreciate some of the moments we've had from this past year. You know, it was our takeover day on the SEC network. I was able to watch a good amount of that, seeing some of the highlighted games from the year from across the different sports. And there really were some fun moments. And let's not forget the GOAT, Dawn Staley, two-time national champ. It was just so fun to see. But going to dive into all that right now in a bit. But before I do, y'all know that I have my handy-dandy Gamecock fact and trivia calendar. So let's see what we got today. It's a fact. That's a fact. That sounds like it could be like a song or something for my next album. Fact. In 2002, former South Carolina men's soccer players Clint Mathis and Josh Wolf became teammates on the U.S. men's national team at the World Cup. How about that? Shout out Clint and Josh. That is a fun fact. That's definitely worthy of being on the calendar. And we got the World Cup coming up soon. For those of you soccer fans, fans of the beautiful game, it's going to be all sorts of hectic being during football season because it's in Qatar, Qatar, however the hell you want to say it. But we're going to have football and then American football and just football and soccer. It's going to be bananas. It's going to be a sports fan's dream, because anytime you get to cheer on your country, it just raises the game of any competitive sport. But enough of that. Let's focus on our team and our university, University of South Carolina. Like I said, got a lot of updates for y'all. Going to walk y'all through it, starting with men's basketball. Yep. Men's basketball, Lamont Paris, he has been kind of quiet. You know, he's been working in the shadows. He built his staff. He got his transfers that we talked about, and we didn't really know what was going on. You know, he had a little bit of room to add a player or two, and I didn't bring this up in previous episodes because nothing was substantiated. And if you are a close follower of men's basketball, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're not, I'm talking about G.G. Jackson. Yep, G.G. Jackson. We talked a lot about him towards the end of the Frank Martin era. We talked a lot about him during his recruitment. He's the number one player in the class of 2023. He's from Columbia. And a lot of people were looking at G.G. and saying, this guy could be a program changer, program saver, right? A lot of people said, you know what? You could maybe even give Frank another year, let Gigi come to him, and let's see what happens. Turns out Gigi ended up committing to UNC, and, you know, everything happened with Frank. We bring on Lamont, and that was kind of it. until a couple of weeks ago, when there started to be some grumblings that, you know, maybe he might want to reclassify, try to get to the draft a little earlier. It's pretty popular nowadays, especially in basketball. Thing is, UNC didn't have the roster spots and the scholarships for him had he decided to do that. More and more it picked up steam, and then bam, it broke today that G.G. Jackson, many really truly believe that he is going to reclassify and will then decommit from UNC, and then in doing so will recommit only to the University of South Carolina, number one player in the class of 2023, potentially coming to USC, excuse me. My goodness, this is absolutely insane. The saga that was the G.G. Jackson recruitment, I don't think I've followed anything quite like this, especially in the basketball side of things. So, look, nothing is set in stone yet, and maybe it's the scared Carolina fan in me that, like, I won't really believe this until I see him on the floor in our uniform at Colonial Life. But the reason I'm bringing it up now, rather than a week or so ago, is that multiple big-time outlets are reporting it. You had a couple of these recruiting experts changing their crystal balls to GG. You had a couple of guys saying that he really is going to reclassify and then would probably go to USC. But now you have the 247 Sports site itself saying that within the next 2 weeks, Jackson is going to reclassify, decommit, and then commit to USC. And this is just insane. It is so sick. I mean, this is a guy who there's going to be a lot of weight on his shoulder to not only get up to speed with the college game, SEC play, and then try to take a team to the postseason, right? In a coach's first year with a roster that lost a lot of key players. But man, what does this say about Lamont Paris? That he kept working it. His staff kept working it. I mean, there's no way you're going to tell me that Lamont just put his feet up and said, well, he's going to UNC. I'm just going to do what I can do here. Heck no. He was still talking to his family. He was getting to know his family, right? They were getting to know the coaches. They probably talked about vision, long-term, all that jazz. And the Jackson family and GG himself felt comfortable now potentially coming to Lamont Paris. And it is incredible to see that. That is a huge, huge win. And yes, are we a little lucky that he's from Columbia and gets to play in his hometown? Like, yes, that certainly has something to do with it, but that's what you got to do. Get your local talent to stay home. Something we hadn't seen for the past few years. And I don't want to dive too deep in this. You know, if you listen to the collab episode I did a couple weeks ago, I touched on this, but there were a lot of folks who wanted to keep Frank Martin because he had a good relationship with G.G. Jackson. And when we let him go, a lot of people were saying, well, now the number one player of this class is going to walk. Well, you know what? This is exactly why you don't keep a coach for a recruit. Because things change. Circumstances change. People change their minds. You moved on from Frank to take your program in a new direction. This coach, who we knew was going to work his butt off in recruiting and the transfer portal, is doing that. And it could pay the biggest dividend of all by getting G.G. Jackson. And I know he's a one and done. And I'm not saying he's going to bring us to a Final Four. I mean, heck, getting to the tournament is going to be tough on the backs of G.G. But it's possible. If we get to the NIT, that's something we haven't seen in years. So this is big. Because it also signifies to other players like, hey, there's a new sheriff in town at USC. And I'm ecstatic. You know, obviously, we have a long ways to go until he actually commits, puts pen to paper. But all signs are pointing to G.G. Jackson coming home and playing for the Gamecocks. So it's incredible. Obviously, when that happens, if it officially happens, I will update y'all. But exciting news out of the basketball program. And now on the other side of that, the women's basketball program had a little bit of news themselves. It was announced that they will be playing Stanford at their place, so at Stanford University, November the 20th. And this is a rematch of these two teams from last season when they played in the regular season at Colonial Life. You remember that atmosphere was insane. It was popping off. And we got a little bit of a rivalry here, right? It just feels like these two programs right now have some incredible talent. They obviously met in the Final Four a couple years ago, and they had a very competitive regular season match at Colonial Life, and now they get to go to Stanford. So it's going to be electric. It was really cool to see that that's a fun little continuation of that home and home, if you will. And on the subject of women's basketball, this was a week or two ago at this point, but they released the SEC opponents for the Gamecocks. And to me, the biggest one of note is that LSU is coming to us. We're playing LSU at home. And as y'all know, Kim Mulkey is on my not a fan of list. Just not a fan of Kim. You know, that was a very competitive game last season as well. So this is going to be a fun one. She's building a good team. I got to give her credit there. So the atmosphere should be absolutely electric. That's got to be the highlight of the SEC schedule at home, at least, if you ask me, and should be a solid test for our squad. So how about that? We're talking basketball in the middle of July. Some exciting, tangible basketball news for the Gamecocks, for men's and women's. Great time. But now moving over to some more, I guess, immediate news. I don't know what the right word is here. A little bit more, you know, real, exciting, you know, fresh news, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Anyway, talking about baseball, picking up some transfers here. Two guys wanted to talk about pickup transfer. He's an infielder, Will McGillis from Southern Miss. Now, Will is coming in as a junior. Last season, he hit 236 with 11 home runs and 35 RBI. So a nice little pickup there. And then also the Carolina Gamecocks got transfer pitcher from Notre Dame, Roman Kimball. Now, he's coming in after only playing his freshman year for the Irish. And talk about getting a guy with experience, as Notre Dame is fresh off an appearance in the College World Series, right? They made it to Omaha. So he even tweeted that in his decision that Omaha is the goal. And I mean, that should be the goal for anyone coming to USC. That should be the goal for any manager at USC. But nevertheless, but looking at his numbers, I really like what I see. To my understanding, he did most of his work out of the bullpen, but he had a 4-0 record with a 5.76 ERA, but he had 32 strikeouts over 25 innings pitched and only 14 walks. Say that again. 32 strikeouts and over 25 innings pitched with only 14 walks. So that's a pretty darn good ratio. Obviously, there is room to improve, but without watching a single second of this kid, right? I didn't watch a single second of Notre Dame baseball. You can almost tell from the numbers that he has good stuff, high strikeout percentage, and hopefully he can grow a little bit more control as he gets older and develops. But this seems like a nice addition, right? I'd like to see that ERA come down a smidge, and I'd like to see the walks come down a smidge. But overall, that is quite the nice pickup. And just a quick look back overall at what Mark King's done has done over the last several weeks now, all through the portal. We've had 10 players commit, and the breakdown is 4 pitchers, 1 catcher, 3 infielders, and 2 outfielders. And some of these guys I can see DHing as well, but clearly you can see what Kingston has done to address, first and foremost, the lack of pitching depth we had a year ago. And that's encouraging at a minimum, because it proves that he does in fact have eyes and he does have a brain, because that was what we talked about all year, was that our lack of pitching depth was just killing us. And I know we had a couple of guys transfer out, but when you look at the breakdown, pitchers comes in highest of the guys you brought in. And, you know, these other guys coming in, position players, they have voids to fill as well, right? You know, you have seniors who left, but I look at them also serving as key depth pieces for other players who may be elevated to starters this year. You know, we had to play a bunch of young guys last year, and they stepped up at times. So I could see some of our current roster developing and elevating their game, and some of these guys, like Will McGinnis, who I just talked about, coming in and playing off the bench or, you know, playing on an off day, being that depth. And that's what you need. So while I can sit here and still get upset about last season, it is at least encouraging to see that steps are being made to correct the gaps from last season. So we'll see how it turns out, but I am encouraged that we are hitting the portal hard, trying to address those gaps. And then last but not least, the news from our major sports is from the football program. I mentioned it at the top of the show that SEC Media Days kicks off next week and thus is the official start of talking season, right? And I just love Media Days, y'all. It is such a college football thing, right? And if you're a college football junkie like I am, like, nothing gets you excited in an off season like Media Days, right? It's just diehard college football. College football fans eat it up. Every little bit, every little soundbite, just inject it into my veins. I love the little banter from the coaches. I love seeing the personality shine. I love seeing these guys interact with each other and the media, and they just don't have the weight of the world on them yet, right? You see these guys in the season, and they're like guarding state secrets. You know, they're all buttoned up and they're a little looser. It's just great. So Shane Beamer and South Carolina are slated to speak on Tuesday. And along with himself, Shane Beamer has elected to bring DeCarrion Joyner, Javon Gwynn, and Zach Pickens with him as the player representatives for the program. And I like these guys. I think these are phenomenal picks to represent the program. Now, a lot of people were surprised that it wasn't Rattler, and I understand that. I mean, he's your new shiny toy. Everyone was talking about it. He brought all of the eyes to South Carolina. But let me tell you something. Shane Beamer is all about the team. And Shane Beamer is all about creating a proper winning culture. And these guys exude that culture. Even before Beamer was coach, these guys were doing the things that Shane Beamer likes. Team first mentality, getting involved in the community, playing hard, right? You look at a guy like DeCarrion Joyner. He could have left at multiple times, but he stayed because he wanted to play for the university. Zach Pickens, he could have elected to leave Carolina after last season, try to go to the NFL. He decided to stay back and elevate the team. So I love this because the nation is going to get a great example of our culture and the culture that Shane Beamer has brought to our program. And it's because of that culture and because of players like DeCarrion Joyner, Javon Gwynn, and Zach Pickens that South Carolina was an attractive place for Spencer Rattler to begin with. So these guys are awesome. They're going to represent our university well. And as far as Rattler is concerned, he's going to have plenty of cameras and eyes on him in the regular season. So, let's just let his play speak for himself. He's going to have his opportunity to talk about that. But these three guys, plus coach, are going to be a phenomenal representation of our program. I can't wait to tune in and hear what they say. And hey, let's go Cox, man. Football season is right around the corner. Media Days really signifies that. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Woo, that was a lot. Jam-packed. My goodness gracious, covered all the big sports, but really exciting time, y'all. But please, follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox, Gamecocks, my last name, Gamecocks. And then Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please, like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you like to listen it to. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.